You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
You know, thank God we have a Bible. Thank God we have an instruction book. We have a bio, as it were, you know, of God. You know, if you have somebody you want to check up on, you know, whether it's in the world to be a movie star, a rock star, or an author, or just anybody, you can look up their bio. And you can find out about them, find out about where they're born, what their likes are and dislikes, what they've done in their life, and so on and so forth. Well, the Bible is the bio of God, and really it's a bio of us. It's a biography of us. It tells us who we should be and what we should do and what we have. A lot of times you don't even know what you have. You don't even know who you are. And the Bible tells us who we are. As far as God's concerned, I think a lot of the churches in that situation, they know God, but they really don't know who He is. They know of Him. Maybe they've accepted Him. Maybe He's their Savior. But, you know, they don't really know what He can do. They don't know what all He does. And everybody has opinions. You know, opinions like elbows. Everybody's got a couple of them. But thank God we have the Bible to straighten out and separate opinion from fact, from what is true, what God has said. God knows more about Himself than we do. Truth is, He knows more about us than we do. And He sure knows more about the world than we do. And so when you get into the Word of God, you find out about God, you find out about yourself, and you find out about the world we live in. And the good news, you find out we win. You find out you can make it. You find out that you're better than the devil's telling you are. If you've repented, and you know, of your sin, so on and so forth. If you're lost, obviously you need to repent of your sin. You're lost, you're undone, you need God. But once you receive Jesus in your life, then you become a new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things are passed away, all things become new. Now you're a world overcomer. Now you have the name of Jesus and the Holy Spirit. You know, if you're baptized with the Holy Spirit and speak with other tongues, you can have that experience. If you've done that and gone through that, you're not who you used to be. Hallelujah, somebody. And if you get in the Word, you'll find out that God is not who we used to think He was. Because we often think God's behind the problem. And actually, He is the answer. Praise God. Hallelujah. You know, you hear people say this too. I've often heard it. I'm sure you have too. Even in church. You know, well, you never know what the Lord's going to do. Well, actually, we do know what the Lord's going to do. It's you that we don't know about. Hello. It's me. I'm the one that's flaky, not God. And so I had to get in the Word to get consistent. So I wouldn't be one way one day, one way another day. God's the same all the time. He's good. All the time. Hallelujah. And God wants us to understand Him. I think that's a barrier or a wall sometimes. Well, you know, God, you can never understand God. You never know what God's going to do. We often hear that. And it sounds very religious and very pious. You know, because God's so great, He made the universe, and of course He did. We know that. I mean, you couldn't match wits with God. That's understandable. I mean, you don't have to be a rocket scientist to figure that out. You know, God in intelligence and wisdom, my goodness, is far vastly beyond all of us. There's no question about that. But what He's told us, we can know that much. We can know what He has told us. And maybe we don't know everything about God, but one thing for sure, we know He's not a liar. So what we don't know about God is not going to contradict what we do know about God. If He says He's good, then He can't be bad. Are you with me? If He says He tells the truth, then He can't tell a lie. Maybe I don't know everything, but I know God can't lie. Maybe I don't know everything, but I know He loves me. Amen. And if He loves me, then that means He does not hate me. As soon as I say something about God, I'm saying something else about God. See, that's just a fact. I mean, if I say I believe certain things about God, then I immediately am saying there are certain things about Him I don't believe. If I believe He's good, then I don't believe He's bad. Amen. Woohoo! Well, you know, it's a good start now. We're getting started here. So if you believe is God's on your side, you cannot believe He's your enemy too. Because those are just mutually exclusive things. He can't be good and bad and tell the truth and lie and be for you and against you. And no, God's for you. And if God's for you, who cares who's against you? So when you go through the Word, maybe you don't know everything. I don't know everything. Goodness gracious. I mean, who knows everything? Only God. But there are some things we do know. And some things we do know eliminate some things we don't know. If God is healing you, He's the healer, then He's not the one making you sick. If He's the Lord that healeth thee, He's not the Lord that maketh thee sick. Can't be both. Can't have it both ways. He's either one or the other. And so when we get into a crisis and we get into a problem, we call on God. Don't think God's doing bad and doing good to you all in the same boat. He's not throwing it all at you. He's either doing one or the other. He's not doing both. Amen. And those cobwebs, you've got to get out of your mind. And often what will happen when something happens in our lives that we don't understand, we like to throw it over on our knowledge of God and we'll say, well, you never know what the Lord's going to do. Who knows what the Lord's trying to do here? You ever hear that one? I don't know what God's trying to do here. Well, it may be God's not doing anything. Maybe just the devil, and it may be you. Because there's three players in this thing. There's God, there's the devil, and then there's you.
Amen.
Amen. Sometimes we found the enemy, and he is us. Yeah. But thank God we have the Bible. Wow. So we know what we need to straighten out, correct, or whatever. So we can recognize what God is doing, what the devil's doing, and what we're doing. You know, if the Bible says submit to God, and it does, James 4, verse 7, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil and he will flee from you, then that tells me that, wait a minute, God's doing some things and the devil's doing some things, and I need to know the difference or I wouldn't know what to submit to and what to resist. Make sense? How could I even fulfill that scripture? Submit therefore to God, resist the devil. If I think God's doing everything, well, I'd submit to everything. Wouldn't you? But obviously he's not, because he tells us to resist certain things and to submit certain things. So I want to submit to God, and I want to resist the devil. To do that, I got to recognize what God's doing, recognize what the devil's doing, and they are doing two different things. They're alive and well, working. God's working, devil's working. And then you're there in the middle. Well, Ephesians, have you found it? Notice what it says here in Ephesians, the 14th verse. Therefore he says, awake you who sleep. I'm reading New King James Version. Awake thou that sleepest, I think King James says. Yea, verily forsooth, peradventure, and hitherto. Awake you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. Woo, hallelujah. If I seek this, if I wake up, if I go after God, if I call on God, he'll give me light. He will reveal himself. He's not hiding from me. He's not purposely holding back information. You know, in technical terms, that would be an obscurantist. No, I wasn't speaking in tongues. That actually is a word. Obscurantist is someone who withholds information from the general public. God is not an obscurantist. And he is not obscure. God is plain. And he makes himself plain. And he reveals himself to those who call on him, who come after him. In fact, he satisfies the hungry soul, the longing soul. Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. If you come, you'll meet him. He's not running away from you. He's not hiding behind a tree. He's not over the sea, the Bible says, that you'd send someone over there. Over the mountain, that you'd send someone over there. He says, well, what is it? The word is nigh you in your heart and in your mouth. That is, if you, Romans picks up on that. That's Deuteronomy 30:19. But if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. God is a prayer away. He is a call away. He is a knock away. If you knock on the door, he'll open it. He is a search away. If you seek, you will find him. If you ask, you will receive. Oh, he's not hiding. We're hiding. He's asking us to come out of hiding. Hallelujah. He's not hard to find. If you'll come, you can find him. If you'll call, you'll connect with him. His phone's never busy. Woo, hallelujah. Isn't that good? He's not hard to understand. Oh, he's the creator of the universe, sure, but there's some things that you can know about him very plainly. They're in the Word. You know, if I had a manual, you think of it this way, a manual on how to do something, and there are manuals for machines, guys, they really are. They make manuals. That's that thing you throw away when you get it out of the box. Throw the box and the manual. I can do this by myself. If someone's real good at writing a manual about a machine, how it operates, or a car, you know, a manual on a car, or whatever the case may be, if they're real good, we would really praise them about their ability to communicate, wouldn't we? We'd say, man, that guy really knows how to write a manual. That was good. I like that. I understood that. Well, who do you think can communicate better than God? Nobody. Excuse me. If you've ever read a book that you understood and that you connected with, and you praise the author for that, how much more would God be able to communicate himself to us through the Bible? Well, I just can't understand the Bible. I don't think it's that. I think it's probably desire. I think it's... Because I know guys that never read anything but honey magazines. And they understand that pretty good. That has to do with desire. Hello. I know guys need nothing but sports magazines. You know, and they don't read anything else, but they read sports magazines. And they understand all that, the stats and who everybody is. You know, it's desire. I love that. If you have a desire, you'll seek to understand, and you will understand.
That's right. That's good.
You'll search. In fact, really, hold your place there. Turn to it. I just thought of this verse, Psalms 111. Boy, this is a good one. I ran across this the other day, and it God just put it in there. It wasn't in there before. Psalms 111, 111, 111. I think this is awesome. It says, the first verse says, praise the Lord, I will praise the Lord with my whole heart in the assembly of the upright in the congregation. Second verse, the works of the Lord are great, studied by all who have pleasure in them.
Yeah.
Studied by all who have pleasure in them. In other words, what you have pleasure in, you're going to study.
That's right. Yeah.
Isn't that right? And if you really love the Lord, you'll seek after Him and you'll study Him. And if you really love Him and seek after Him, you'll find Him. No question. You will find out about Him. He is not hard to understand in that respect. You'll find out He loves you. You'll find out He's for you. You'll find out He's on your side. Hallelujah. You'll find out He wants the best for you. You'll find out it's easy to pray and believe God. It's real simple when you understand who He is, because He wants you to have the best in your life. Did you know God wants to bless you and prosper you? He's not making you poor. He's not doing that. He's not making you sick. He's not doing that. He's not killing you. Listen, sin's killing us. And in a general sense, it's going to kill us all. If Jesus doesn't come back, all of us are going to die because of sin, because of the sin of Adam. Our bodies are deteriorating, getting older. The outward man perisheth, but the inner man's renewed day by day. Hallelujah. Yeah. But thank God there is a provision of health and healing, that maybe we won't live forever in this body, but we can live healed in this body. When sickness comes, we can get healed. We can pray one for another to be healed. Because God doesn't like it any more than you do. God's not the one killing your body. Sin's killing your body. God's not the one causing car wrecks and train wrecks and plane wrecks and all those kinds of things. Sin's doing that. We live in a broken world, a world that is full of sin. Since Adam came into this world, sin entered this world. And when sin entered this world, death entered this world.
That's right.
Now, you say, well, didn't God do something about it? Well, He has. He started doing something about it 2,000 years ago when He sent Jesus.
That's right.
And He'll eventually change the whole thing, and there'll be a whole new heaven and a new earth. Where there'll be no more suffering, no sighing, no dying, no pain, no crying. Former things have passed away, all things have become new. There'll be no more chiggers, mosquitoes, or red bugs. Hallelujah. It's going to be a new world. Can't wait. Amen. Now, He's made provision until we die, you know, temporarily. We can get healing. He's tipped the scales in our favor. But there's coming a day where He'll take the whole world back over. He hasn't done that yet. Everything's going on in the world right now is not God. One day it will be. We're still in sin. The world is still in sin in that sense. You and I are redeemed, but our body is still corruptible. Our body is still mortal. Our body is still doomed. Our body still dies. And one day, this corruptible will put on incorruption. And one day, this mortal will put on immortality. And one day, death will be swallowed up of life. Oh, hallelujah. That day's coming. But now, hey, I can know some things about God. Amen. I can seek Him out. I can search Him out. And He will be found by me if I seek Him. And if I delight in Him, as this verse says, the works of the Lord are great, studied by all who have pleasure in them. Man, do you delight in the Lord? If you do, that's the first step. If you delight in Him, then seek after Him. Isn't that the way you do when you fall in love with someone? You seek after them, you go after them, you check on them, you call them, you talk to them late at night. You find out everything there is about them. Hello. Why? Because you desire them. You love them. You care for them. See, if we really care for God, if we really love God, if we really understand who He is and begin to get a picture of Him, we'll seek after Him. We'll begin to want to know Him more. The more I fall in love, that's why worship is so important. Here we worship. That's why we worship before we get in the Word. Because what that does, it gets our focus on Him. It kindles that flame, that fans the flame of desire and passion for Him. And then when we get into the Word, we're ready. We want to know about Him. We've been worshiping Him. We've been desiring Him. We've been praising Him. Hallelujah. Now we're ready to find out about Him and find out what He has to say. We have a willing ear, an attentive ear, because it's something we're very much interested in. I love that. I love we have services and somebody gets healed, like we had that move there a while ago. Well, that opens our eyes up. Wow, man, this God is an active God. He loves us. He's for us. He wants to heal and set us free. Man, I need to listen up. Anybody have any needs in their lives? Well, God wants to meet those needs. He really does. He cares about you. I don't know why, but He really does. He cares about us. Ephesians 5. Go back there if you will. Notice He says here, awake you who sleep. We need to wake up from a slumber, because we're kind of asleep to the Spirit in life. If we're not careful, we'll be lulled into living our life in the world and forget about God and forget about eternity and forget about serving God. And that's the most important thing. Amen. There's nothing wrong with having hobbies and enjoying sports. I love to hunt, and I'm a hunter. I love to bow hunt and rifle hunt. I like to hunt. I think that's great. But my number one, my priority in life is God. It has to be. It always will be. I love my wife. I love my children, my grandchildren. I mean, I am living the life. I've got a great family. I've got a bunch of grandchildren. And got a great church. I love the church. But, I love God. God's got to be number one in my life. I have to. It's my love for Him that makes me a better husband. It makes me a better father and grandfather and pastor. I mean, it'll make everything else better. So if I love my wife, the best marriage I could have is to give my life to God. That'll make my marriage better. Amen. And it'll help me love her better even, see? And if I love pastoring the church and of course we've been here 27 years, goodness gracious. I mean, when you start when you're 5 years old, I mean, that's what happens. But we've been here 27 years, and I love this church. I love this church. I love pastoring. I love preaching. I love to get up here and minister the Word and get in the flow. I love to worship. I love you. I love this church. It's not a job to me. Oh my God, I got to go preach again. It's Sunday. Oh, here, what am I going to do? I can't wait to get down here. Amen. It's the highlight of my week. It is. And then Wednesday night, oh man, I love to preach. I love what I do. But see, I wouldn't if I didn't love God. Because you can burn out ministering for God, but you won't burn out ministering to God. And a lot of ministers burn out because they're ministering for God, but they're not ministering to God. We can burn out doing things for God in the church. We can get so busy doing things that we just hadn't spent time with Him. And you know what? You get burnt out because your love for anything will die out if your love for God's not first. But if your love for God's first, He will actually fan the flames on your love for other things and other people. He'll make your marriage better. Woo! That's good. Amen. Got to have king love here. King love is love for God. That's right. Everything else is a servant to that. You can't make love in your wife king love. You can't make love in your children king love. You can't make love in your country king love. We love our country. We love wives, husband, all these things, but we have to love God more. But that helps us. That makes our love for everything else better. Amen. Praise God. Wake up. Wake up. See, that's what we need to do. Wake up to this thing. Well, man, I'm just going to lose sight of what life's about. No, you're going to find out what life's about. You're going to step out of darkness into light. You're going to step out of wonder and into know. You're going to step out of the stagnant pools and into the flow. Out of darkness into light. Out of wrong teaching into right. Come on, somebody. Amen. So, awake, you who sleep. Arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. Amen. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Let's don't walk around like everybody else. Let's walk around as Christians, believers. People know our God.
Yes.
Know right and wrong, and stand up for what's right and wrong. If you don't stand for something, you're going to fall for everything.
Right.
Redeeming the time because the days are evil. How many of you know we live in evil times?
Yes.
Sure we do. Well, we ought to redeem the time. Make use of the time. Make good use of the time. Spend time with God. Spend time with God's people. Love God. Love God's people. And here is the verse I want to get to. 17th verse. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Wow, what a revealing verse. What God's telling us there is that He really wants us to understand what His will is. Well, who knows what the will of the Lord is? Well, according to the Bible, we're supposed to. We, the church, we're supposed to know His will. In fact, He told us, just like He said, forgive. How many of you know ought to forgive? A couple of you, that's good. The rest of them will pray for you.
Amen.
To forgive something doesn't, you know, forgive someone doesn't mean you have to hang around them. It just means you forgive them.
Yeah.
I heard Fred Price this morning. Anybody watch Fred Price this morning? Oh, I thought that was so good. He said, you know, one day I walked in a yard, somebody's yard, opened the gate, walked in the yard, and they had a dog. I didn't know they had a dog. And the dog comes running around the house and bit him. And he says, man, I'm telling you, I shook that dog off, and I got out that gate and closed that gate. And he said, you know, I thought about that. I didn't go get a gun and shoot that dog. He said, I could have got my .44, my 9mm, and evidently he's got a couple pistols. But anyway. He said, I could have got a pistol, gone back, shot that dog. But he says, you know, I realize that dog's just doing what he does. That's his nature to do that. He's just being a dog. That's what dogs do. He says, so I forgave that dog. He said, but I didn't go back in that yard. He says, some people just kind of doggy, you know. They kind of dogged you out too, you know. They bit you. He said, you've got to forgive them. If they don't get right, you just stay away from that yard. Hello. You forgive them. Because until they get right with God, that's just what they do. It's what everybody does not right with God. You got to forgive them, but stay out of their yard. I thought that was real good. To forgive someone doesn't mean you continually hang around them. Sometimes it means you don't hang around them. It means you forgive them and stay away till they get right, you know. Okay. But we forgive because God says forgive. We love because God says love. I don't think we're off the hook and say, well, I can't. No, that's no good. No, God said forgive. You got to do it. Amen? Well, notice it says here, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Well, I just don't know. I don't know. You know, I don't think you can know what God's will is. Well, wait a minute. He didn't give you that option. He told you not to be unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. This actually is a little more stronger than it's possible for you to know His will. He tells you to go find it. Wow. Do not be unwise. Don't be that way. Well, I never know what God's going to do. Well, you shouldn't be proud of that. You ought to be ashamed of that. You ought to go find out. I just don't know what God's will is. Well, go find out what His will is.
Come on. Come on, Pastor.
Be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Wow. So God wants us to understand His will. See, that's good. We're not supposed to go through life wondering about God. We're not supposed to go through life as Christians never knowing what the Lord's going to do from day to day. We are supposed to know what His will is. Now, that's going to take some effort on our part. And even that Psalms 111 verse 2 there, if we delight in Him, we'll study His word. We'll get in there. We'll check it out. Because whatever we delight in, if there's desire there, we're going to pursue. We're going to try to find out something about this thing. So I think really our knowledge is connected. Our knowledge of anything is connected to our passion for that thing or our desire for that thing. If I'm passionate about becoming a certain, taking on a certain profession, then I'm going to get all the books. I'm going to study. I'm going to find out about it because now I have a desire for that. You know, if you're going to be a nurse or a doctor or whatever, you're going to take a lot of tests. You're going to read a lot of books. You're going to be tested on it, and you're going to pay attention. You're going to become a fireman or whatever the case may be. Or, you know, you're going to have to go through tests there and read some books and study that. All of a sudden now, this is real important to find out, and I'm going to have to put some effort into this to get this down. And, really, that course and those tests kind of weed out the people that really don't have the passion for it or the desire for it. Because if it's burning in you, you won't quit till you figure it out. That's true. It kind of weeds out those that really want and really don't want. That's what tests do. I mean, think about it. So here we are talking about God. Fan the flame of desire in your heart for Him and seek after Him. He can be found and you can know His will. You're going to find out He's good, not bad. You're going to find out that He's for you, not against you. You're going to find out that He really wants to bless you. See, you'd be lulled into the sleep of economic recession. You can be lulled into the sleep of hard times we're living in. You can be lulled in the sleep of all kinds of things. But you need to wake up to the fact that God's for you, not against you.
Amen.
And you have the victory in Christ Jesus. He always calls you to call triumph in Christ. You're more than conquerors through Him that loved you. Greater is He that's in you than He's in the world. You're born of God, and whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. That God delights in our prosperity, hallelujah. That the young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want or lack for any good thing. That the Lord is our shepherd, and we shall not lack, hallelujah.
Yes.
That our God, my God, shall supply all my need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Yes. See, you have to wake up, because you get lulled into a sleep in this world. And listening to the news, and nothing wrong with listening to the news. Check up on Antichrist and see what's going on, you know. But you've got to get in the good news. I mean, the world has bad news. We got the good news. And so fan that flame and find out about God. You'll find out you ain't got a thing to worry about. That's what you'll find out. You get in the Word and you begin to understand. Hey, listen, God's not behind all this stuff. He's behind my completion, my fulfillment, my destiny. He wants to make me the best I can be. He can bless me and He will bless me, and that's what I'm standing on. I don't care what's going on in the world. I got my eyes on heaven. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Got my eyes on Jesus. I am not going to let go. Praise God. He is on my side. He is for me, and that's all that matters. Hallelujah. Amen. Woo. And if you're in His Word and in His face all the time, you know, seeking Him, then it's not a problem. It's not an issue. But it is a time issue. See, the devil loves to rob our time and distract us and keep us busy. We can't even hear the Word, but if we don't have a lot of time for it, we don't understand it, and it doesn't take root. That's what Jesus said. He says, well, these are those that heard the Word and did not understand it. See, didn't understand it. Understanding. God wants us to understand His will. Amen. So He can bless us. Hallelujah. Turn over to Isaiah 55. This is well-known scripture. Isaiah 55. Is this helping you?
Yes,
hey, this is just basic, real simple stuff. We need to hear it, though. Cornbread and beans. Sometimes we have steak. Sometimes we have broccoli and cheese, chicken, fries. Boy, I better quit that. It's getting toward lunchtime. All of a sudden, your passion will shift here. Your desire will go... Yeah, this is often misquoted, this passage of Scripture. In Isaiah 55, it starts out, it says in the 6th verse, "Seek the Lord while He may be found, call upon Him while He's near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts." Well, that says all kinds of ways to think, and all kinds of ways to act. And there's certain ways that are wicked we need to forsake. And there are certain ways of thinking that are unrighteous, and we need to get rid of those thoughts. Amen? Let him return to the Lord. That'd be you and me. I mean, if we were walking wicked and thinking unrighteously, then He's saying, hey, I'll take you if you'll return, if you'll forsake this, if you'll turn and come to me, seek me while I'm maybe found, call upon me while I'm near. You wicked, forsake your ways. You unrighteous, forsake your thoughts. And He goes on and says this. He says, He will have mercy on him and to our God, for He will abundantly pardon. There's God. God's not mad at you. Are you kidding? God loves you. He's wanting you to come, repent. Now, if you don't repent, it's nothing He can do. But if you will come to Him, He will receive you. If any man come to me, I will in no wise, no way cast him out. That's what Jesus said. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. I love that. See, he's got an open door policy. His door is always open. His arms are always extended.
Amen.
No one ever went to hell because of God. People go to hell because they don't go to God.
That's right.
Because they don't come to Him. So He says these wicked people that are doing these wicked ways and these unrighteous people that are having these unrighteous thoughts, if they will return to the Lord, God will have mercy on them. God will abundantly pardon them. 8th verse, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, wicked, unrighteous, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord, wicked, unrighteous. Now see, we often quote this, and I've heard this quote over and over, that you and I, there's just no way we could ever know God's ways or His thoughts, because His ways are not our ways, and His thoughts are not our thoughts. You ever heard that? But that's not what He's talking about. He's saying His thoughts are not unrighteous, and His ways are not wicked. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous his thoughts, and let them return to me, for my thoughts are not your thoughts and my ways are not your ways.
That's right.
We're not in a situation where we can never know God's ways and never know His thoughts. No, He's telling us what they are. They are righteous. They're not unrighteous. They're holy. They're not wicked. Can I know God's way and His thoughts? Absolutely. They're holy and they're righteous. Wow. So He's not saying my thoughts are not His thoughts? No, my thoughts are not His thoughts if they're wicked and unrighteous. But what if I'm thinking the Word and praying the Word? Then my thoughts are His thoughts. If I return, if I forsake those wicked and unrighteous thoughts and ways and return to Him and start walking righteously, then all of a sudden I'm starting to think the thoughts of God. And I'm starting walking the ways of God. Because God's ways are very recognizable. They're not obscure. Amen. They're not vague. They're not unreachable, unknowable. No, they're very knowable. They're very recognizable. God's ways are good. God's ways are righteous. God's ways are holy. See, that's not a scripture saying we can't know His thoughts and ways. That's a scripture telling us what they are. Isn't that amazing? How a wonderful passage of scripture here that was put in here to define God's ways to us. We use that same scripture to say we can never know His ways. And I heard people preach on it. I mean, I've heard people use it. And you know I'm serious because I went a little higher in my voice, falsetto. I've heard people preach on it. I'm serious about this. And use this wonderful passage of Scripture that tells us God's good and He's holy and He's righteous and say, well, see there, you can never know God's way. What? He's telling you. That's what He's doing. He's telling us His way. Did it again. What? Okay. Eighth verse. For my thoughts are not your thoughts. What? Whose thoughts? Unrighteous man. Nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. Whose ways? Wicked man. The one that He was telling him to repent and turn around and come to Him and He'd receive him and abundantly pardon. He had mercy and He abundantly pardoned. And He says in the ninth verse, for as the heavens are higher than the earth. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, God's ways are higher. The heaven is from the earth and our ways. No, He's talking about the righteous ways and holy thoughts of God are as high as the heaven is above the earth compared to wicked and unrighteous ways and thoughts. Yes. He's not saying His thoughts and His ways are as high above the earth as us and our thoughts. He's saying they're as high as the heaven is above the earth compared to wicked and unrighteous ways. So why would you want to live wickedly and unrighteous? You are living a low, low life. You live God's ways and you think God's thoughts. You like leaving the earth and going past the quasars and the pulsars, you deep space. You're going way up there as high as the heaven is above the earth when you start loving people and living holy and praying for people. That kind of living, that kind of thinking is as high as the heaven is above the earth compared to wicked and unrighteous thinking and wicked, unrighteous ways. Amen? He's not saying there, now I want to repeat this now, He's not saying there that, well, you never can know what God's going to do because, you know, His ways are our ways, His thoughts are not our thoughts, and who knows what the Lord's going to do, as high as the heaven is above the earth, so high are His ways. And well, that's not even the context of that. Y'all see what we're saying? Amen. Two of you do, and that's good. As high as the heaven, as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, wicked, and my thoughts than your thoughts, unrighteous. And then he gets down to it. I love this. 10th verse. For as the rain comes down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, or does not return there. I'm quoting King James. But waters the earth, and makes it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. What are some of God's ways and His thoughts? So shall my word be. This is His thoughts. These are His ways. When He says, be not unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is, He's talking about understanding His word. Find His word. Dig in His word. Check out His word. Find out what His word says about you and about your situation. When you do that, you have found His will and you would have found his thoughts and his ways. And you'll find that his word is like rain that comes down on the dry ground. And you know what it does? It makes it bring forth in bud. It gives seed to the sower and bread to the eater. His word will cause your dry life to be watered. Your unproductive marriage, your unproductive ground, your unproductive relationship, all that. God's word is like rain coming down on dry land. All of a sudden, he'll give new life to that marriage, a new life to those relationships, a new life to that job. Because that's God's will. That's what God wants, your best always. God wants your good always. He is for you. His ways are as high as the heaven is above the earth than wicked and unrighteous ways. And it never pays to live wicked and unrighteous in a marriage, in a family, in a church, on a job. It just doesn't pay. It causes cracks in the ground. It divides us from each other. And I'll tell you, when you start living holy and righteous, all of a sudden it fills in the gaps. It causes increase. Woohoo! Man. So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. What's he saying? So shall my word be. My ways, my thoughts. So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void. It pays to return God's word. I like that. It'll not return to me void. You know, if you take it and pray it back to God and confess it back to God and stand on it and believe it back to God, it'll never be void. God's word is not void of power if it's returned. If you return it through prayer, if you return it, it will not return to me void. But you and I got to return it through prayer, through confession. If we don't, see, it'll lose some of its power. It'll lose its power if it just comes to us and we never take it and return it. It'll not return to me void. I love that. Isn't that good? That's good stuff. It's better preaching. Y'all are amen it. So shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing in which I sent it or whereto I sent it. And the thing he sent it to is you. I love that. So if we'll receive it, if we'll take it, if we'll get it, what he sent to us, his word, then his word will prosper in us. Amen. And just like ground will start growing stuff, you'll start growing stuff too. Amen. You'll start being productive and your marriage will just it'll be productive in the sense of be the best marriage you ever had. I mean, it can be wonderful when the word is in your marriage. Because when you get the word in your marriage, you got God's will. You have his will in your marriage. You have his ways. You got the instruction manual. You're following the instructions. Amen. And God's word was meant to bless us, not to hurt us. God's word was meant to prosper us and multiply us, not to decrease and demean us. God's word was not to impoverish us, but to prosper us. God's word was not to make us worse. It's given to us to make us better. God's ways are higher, no doubt, and these are his ways. Oh, hallelujah. And when you get his ways and his word working in you, and you start understanding the will of the Lord, you live different, you think different, and it affects you your whole life in a positive way. In fact, he goes on with this. He says, well, the 11th verse says, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth, so shall, just like rain coming down. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I send it. You know, God's just waiting, his word's waiting to prosper. But it doesn't prosper here. There's nothing magical about the book. It prospers when it gets in your heart. Just like seed doesn't work till it gets in the ground. But once you get it in your heart, now everybody say heart. Heart denotes desire, passion, what you really would want in life, what you guard in your heart, what you treasure, what you talk about, meditate on, think about all the time. You get around a bunch of hunters and they're going to talk about deer. I mean, I know, I'll talk about it. Hog, oh, we even change our voice. Oh, hog hunting. Oh, hog. I saw a big old hog coming. You forget how to talk because you're getting around all these hog hunters. And boy, it's all you just, I saw him. He came. I hit him. Oh, a quarter away shot. And we start, you know, you. Anyway, you with me? You have passion. You have desire. That's what's in you. That's what you're going to guard and keep and bring out when you get around somebody that hunts hogs. And But God's saying if you're passionate about Him, if you have this in your heart and you love to talk about Him, whoa, hallelujah, this is going to prosper in you. You get it in you, it'll prosper. When it's a passion of yours and it's a desire of yours and it's something you talk about, somebody just punches you and it comes out. And that's what's in you. I can tell you that right now. Me too. Whatever's in me is going to come out if you push the right button.
That's right.
Be it bad or be it good. Now, you get all upset because you had a bad day. Listen, you wouldn't have got upset if you didn't have upset in you.
That's right. Come on.
All that bad day did was bring it out of you. But let me tell you, upset was in you all the time. And somebody pushed your button. Well, let's move on rather quickly from that, okay? But if God's word's in you, man, it doesn't take a whole lot to get it out. It just doesn't take much at all. It's going to start coming out, see? Because it's going to multiply and bring forth and bud, give seed to the sower, bread to the eater. And it's going to bless your life. That's what he says. He says, it will prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. Well, he sent it to you. So it's only going to prosper when it gets in you. Amen? And here's the life that follows that. It all starts with understanding the will of the Lord. It all starts with desiring to know His ways and His word. Amen? His thoughts. And that's His word. Praise God. And you get it and you make it a passion of yours to know Him, to know more about Him, to know more about what He wants in your life, and you guard it in your heart, and you keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life, is what the Bible says. You have to guard your heart. But if you do that, and you put it in you, it'll prosper, and this is what will happen, 12th verse, you shall go out with joy, and be led forth with peace. Oh, hallelujah. You want more peace and more joy in your life? Well, find out more about God. Get passionate about Him. Get in His Word, and get His Word in you. Forsake wicked ways. Forsake unrighteous thoughts. Return to the Lord and He'll have mercy and He'll abundantly pardon. As the rain cometh down, the snow from heaven returns not thither. It returns not there. Hey, you can take the boy out of the King James. You just can't take the King James out of the boy, okay? As the rain comes down, the snow from heaven and waters the earth and returns not there, but give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, that may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall prosper in the thing where I sent it. And accomplish that. Was reading the 12th verse. I'm getting tongue tangled here. Stay with me. All right. 12th verse, for you shall go out with joy. How? After the word's in you. Amen. And be led forth with peace. Let me tell you something. You know something? This is God's will. Wow. You mean God wants that for me? Yes, He does. Absolutely. This is what God wants for you. This is God's will for your life. Don't be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Is something going wrong? That's not God. Bad future? That's not God. No. That's not God's will. That is not what God wants. But what God wants doesn't always happen. You have to do some things for it to happen. You have to get in His Word. You have to change your ways, change your thoughts. But if you'll do that, this is God's will for your life. You've got a bright future. So bright you've got to wear shades. God is interested in blessing you. He's interested in making the best you can be out of you. He has your best in mind. I mean, His promises are filled with things like, do this and I'll bless you. Do this and you'll prosper. Do this and you'll live. I have come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that you might have life. Are you with me? Okay, so 12th, 13th verse, let's close this out. For you shall go out with joy, be led out with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth into singing before you, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the cypress tree. Instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree. And it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. Yes. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, everything looks better when God's moving in your life. Everything looks better. The bluebirds sing better. I mean, the red birds are redder. I mean, the sunset's beautiful, more beautiful. Everything looks better. Everything sounds better. You ever notice when you're sad, you're down, even a happy song sounds sad? You know, because there's something wrong on the inside. You get it right on the inside and everything on the outside just clears up like a brand new day. Hallelujah. And God's got to work in you. He's got to. He's got to work in you if he's ever going to do anything outside of you. He's got to work in you. Got to get in you. Got to change the inside. Got to change the way you think and change the way you act. And then you'll change the world. Hallelujah.